All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Looks like we all have a handout and something to write on. Once again, I want you to know that I'm Dave Richardson, and I want you to know that I am your evangelist. I am here to make sure that you understand God's word. Somebody ought to say amen. And so we're going to have a conversation with God. We're going to sit down in writing. You know, they tell you that when something is important, you have to sign it. Isn't that right? Well, something is important that you have to put it in writing. Well, I want you to know that what we're going to be sharing with you for this whole month of August, you don't want to miss a weekend, a Friday night. You don't want to miss a Saturday. You don't want to miss a Saturday night. And you don't want to miss a Sunday. Imani Praise Band is going to be with us every day, and well, every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday. And we've got so many great things planned for you all. But you want to make sure that you understand that it's important for you to be here. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. We talked about it earlier, having a conversation with God. And I asked you the question, how many of you all would like to have that conversation with God? And I asked you that for a reason, because in the hustle and in the bustle of life, in the trials and tribulations of life, in the pressure and pain of life, just life when it takes place, oftentimes we don't hear God's voice. And some of the decisions that we make because we're not in tune with God. It is so important that we understand how we can get in tune with God. And oftentimes we go through certain things in our lives and we're asking, Lord, where are you when I'm going through this problem? Where are you when I was dealing with that financial trouble? Where were you when my husband died or when my wife passed away? Where were you when I lost my job? Where were you when my kids were acting up? Where were you when I was on those drugs? Where were you when I was laying in that bed with that young lady or that young man? And somewhere along the way, we got this thing mixed up. And so the God of the universe, who has all power, somewhere along the line, it appears that he is powerless. Because you're still dealing with the same issues day in and day out. And so we're going to talk about that conversation today. You've got your handout. I want you to turn to page 2. Amen. Does God really care about me? Turn to the person you're sitting next to at the table. If you're not sitting next, turn across and ask, does God really care about me? Human beings have 4 basic needs. That is to live. Isn't that your desire? You want to live. You want to be around. To love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. 4 basic human needs. I just want to live, God. I just want to make sense of what I'm dealing with. I just want to have that opportunity to love, or I just want to be loved. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I want to have that opportunity to learn. That's why I go to school. I want to be educated. I just want to have those opportunities. And then I want to, of course, leave that legacy. Isn't that right? You want to make a mark. And like we say all the time, it's not when you were born. It's not when you're going to die, but it's what goes on during that dash. What impact are you making? So are you just living? Are you just living? Are you just living? Are you just getting up and going to work? Coming home, the same routine. Getting up. Text messaging, going to work, coming home. And it almost appears that life is meaningless. And so we're going to talk about taking your life to the next level. How many of you all in here want to take your life to the next level? I see everybody's hand pop up. Is something wrong if you're satisfied or if you're just satisfied where you are? You have to always be thinking, because you have to understand, the closer you get to Christ, the more unworthy you see of yourself. The more you realize that you are not, and he is. And so listen to this, Stephen Covey, and I like this. The need to live is our physical need for such things as food, clothing, shelter, economic well-being, and health. The need to love is our social need to relate to other people. To belong, to love, and to, are you guys reading? And to what? Stay with me. And to what? The need to learn is our mental need to develop and to grow. And the need to leave a legacy is our what? To have a sense of what? So separate from Christ, separate from God, do you have purpose? Can you have purpose separate from God? Is it that Christ, when he comes into your life, is it Christ that gives you meaning and purpose and fulfillment? Maybe you're wondering why you're not fulfilled. Maybe you're wondering why you have not moved to the next level in your relationship with God. It's God that fulfills you. I love this quote. This is one of my favorite writers. Some of you all have not heard of her, but she's an excellent writer, and there's going to be several books that we're going to give you that as you come through these seminars. And this is a wonderful woman. She says here, Ellen White, she says, this day with God, and I love this quote. She says, our unity and love for one another are the credentials by which we testify to the world that God has sent his son to do what? Come on now. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Just that sense of love. How many of you love and want to be loved? By somebody, your children, your parents. We're seeking that. So we're asking those kind of questions. I like the Bible. How many of y'all have an opportunity to read the Bible? If not, we're going to introduce that to you today as well. I love what the Word says. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 35. Listen to this. It says, by this all men will know that you are what? If you do what? How many of you all want to love? How many of you all want to be loved? You've got to love one another. And I like this by Neil Clark Warren. It says, your relationships can only be healthy as... Things that make you go, So oftentimes, when you have a problem in your relationships with others, it's because maybe you're still struggling with issues within yourself. You guys are with me. I love that. Harry Firestone says, you get the best out of others when you give the best of your. Isn't that something? So I guess we have to ask the question, in all that we're dealing with, does God really care? Does my life really matter? Do I have purpose? Do I have meaning? What am I doing with my life? Does it make sense? Or am I just occupying space? Where is God when I hurt? I want you to take your pencil and your paper now. And I want you to, before you do that, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. Psalms 46, verse 1. When you get it, say amen. If you don't have it, sit next to the people. Sit next to somebody who has it. The Bible says God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and God is our strength. So where is God when I hurt? I understand that, yes, Evangelist Richardson, I understand that, I've heard about this God, and I'm, even though I'm going through this trouble, when 9/11 took place, where was God? When these particular issues took place, where was God? Why is there still so much chaos in this world? Where is God when I'm hurting? Psalms 46, verse 1. I want you to write in there. That's why you're going to participate. I want you to write in. It says, when trials, write that in, tribulations, and unexplained catastrophes take place, where is God? Well, Psalms 46, verse 1 says, where is he? God is my refuge and my what? But then why am I going through all of this? Why am I facing all of these issues if God is near? If God is present? Why am I going through all of this? It's a good question. Maybe you should take a few seconds to ask the person next to you. What happens? Where is God when I go through pain? Where is God when I go through issues? Take 1 minute to ask that question to the person next to you and get a response. Tell me what they think. I mean, is that a real question to ask somebody? Where is God? Is he where he says he's going to be? Is he sitting up in glory looking down at you, not involved? Listen to this quote. We're not as bothered by a problem as we are by its degree of mystery. It's not knowing what's wrong and how to fix what's wrong with us that arouses the worst fear in us. When there is an absence of God in your life, fear takes over. Because even though you go through trials and tribulations, when there's an absence of God in your life, you tend to respond differently to those who have God in their life when things happen. Well, let's go to the book of Luke. This is going to be our lesson on this evening. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. Now, if you don't have a Bible, everyone needs a Bible. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't know, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament. If you have it, say amen. This is a story by which we open up this conversation with God. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Listen to what the word of God says. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called what? And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing, when you're going through trials and tribulations, when you're going through pain, when you're trying to figure out how that God is going to answer that situation in your life. The Bible says in verse 37, for nothing will be what? Oh, you don't say that like you mean it. Nothing. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste unto the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby did what? The baby did what? In her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb did what? And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what is spoken to her from the Lord. That conversation with God. The setting of this passage of scripture is that Mary has just heard from an angel that she was going to be the one that God would use to bring his son into the world. She just got that from an angel. If it's a little cold, we could turn down the air. I think people kind of shivering. Can we please turn down that air? I don't want you to miss what I have to say. Just turn it off for a minute, and then if it gets hot, I see people sitting there, shh. I don't want you shivering. I want you writing. I want you to be focused into God's word. Thank you so much. Now, I want you to check out what just took place. Here this young lady is. She's about the age of 14 or 15 years old. 14 or 15. This is a young girl. And now she gets this word that God is going to place his son in her. And watch this. The first place that Mary goes, you're writing now, when she finds out that God has placed Jesus in her, is to the next level. That's the next level. That's it. The hill country. That's what the word says. That she goes to the hill country. That means she's going to a higher plane. Check this out. Oh, are you with me? When she finds out that she's going to have Jesus in her, she goes to the hill country. She makes a decision right there, my sister, that I'm going to take my life to the next level. See, when you have God in you, he stirs up the gifts in you. And once God takes residence up in your life, he then takes you to a brand new level. How many of you all want to go to the next level? That's what we call a next level ministry. Somebody ought to say amen. Mary now has made up in her mind, we're still in God's word. If it's not in God's word, it does not deserve to be. So you got to take a look into God's word. So Mary has made up in her mind that now that I have, you can write Jesus in me, that I'm not going to live at the same level I was living before he was in me. It's something about when God takes up residence in my life that changes me. I'm not the same person. I don't walk the same. Come on now. My feet don't take me to the same places. Somebody ought to say amen. I don't talk the same. There's something happens when Jesus takes up residence in my life. It's a change that comes over me. And so she says that I'm excited now because now I've got Jesus in me. Yes, I'm dealing with trials and tribulations because I'm a 14 or 15-year-old young lady. Oh, you're not catching this. 14 or 15. Can you imagine that young lady having to go home and tell her daddy, "Dad, I'm pregnant." 14, 15. And watch this. The daddy is God. Now, you know that had to have been blasphemy. That dad probably said, "Wait a minute. You telling me that you had never had sex? You are a virgin here. I'm pregnant. You're pregnant. You're 14 or 15 years old. And now you expect me to believe. Do I have stupid written?" Can you just imagine what the community thought? Could you imagine what her mother and father must have thought when she came home talking about, "Yeah, I'm pregnant, and it's God's baby"? I want you to understand what she was dealing with. So I guess I need to ask you a question. Where do you go with Jesus in your life? Where is he taking you, and how do you feel? I want you to take a moment. That's a private moment. Where do you go? Once Jesus has entered into your life, or you're asking him, where do you expect God to take you? What are you looking for? I want you to take a moment to write that down. That's a personal comment. This is yours to take home. That's a personal comment. Where do you go? You're seeking the Lord now. You want God to be in your life. You saw that when he entered her life, immediately she went to the hill country. She went to higher ground. Where do you go? Are you going to higher ground? We're talking about the Road to Success tour. How do we define that? Where do you go? Maybe I need to ask it another way. Where do you want God to take you? That's personal, but I want you to write that down and mean what you're writing. Because God is looking over your shoulder while you're writing. I put a quote here, and I love this because it's your attitude that determines your altitude. How high do you want to go? It's your attitude that determines your altitude. You can be going through a lot in your life. Just think of the rumors that young lady Mary was dealing with. You'll look at the fact that, yeah, the Son of God is coming. Just think about what she had to deal with. As a 14-year-old young lady, potential stoning. Just think about what she was dealing with in her mind. But it's your attitude that determines your altitude. How high do you want to go? Where do you want God to take you? In the book of James, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? It's the word now. Listen to this. You desire and do not have. So you murder. You kill someone else's desires. You kill someone else's aspirations. You know you'll never be anything. You can't do that. You covet and cannot obtain. Does anyone know what covet means? Huh? You're always looking over the fence at someone else's stuff. I wish I was like that. I wish I had that. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you have not what? Come on now. Somebody ought to get excited right there. You do not have because you do not what? Because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask what? To spend it on your what? He says, you adulterous people, do you know not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? So the war is starting with you. You don't have because you're not asking. You're not trusting him. And then you take those negative, always arguing, always fighting, and not just with others, but within yourself. God wants to take you to the next level. So listen to this. I want you to write in there that says negative attitudes and desires lead to sinful words and actions. Let me share something with you all. There's got to be some people that you got to kick out of your life. There got to be some people you cannot spend time with. Because they literally drain the life out of you. Because they're negative. Negative people. And negative people oftentimes destroy you if you let them. And so you got to be willing to move away from that negativity and embrace what God has just for you. The next time someone begins to talk negative to you, you need to say to them, why don't you talk more positive? And if they don't know how to be positive, maybe you need to put them out of your life. Got to do that. Negative people will drain you. Negative people will put you down. Negative people will hold you down. And you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to move forward. That's negative people. And some of it is just realizing that God can do for you what no one else can do. She moved to the next level. And then secondly, because she has Jesus in her, listen to this. She ends up in a place of praise. Let me hear you say place of praise. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Are you still there? Luke chapter 1. Verse 39. Listen to what it says. I still hear those pages turning. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in what? Judah. Judah means worthy to be, write it in there, praised. You can look it up. That's what it means. Worthy to be praised. So watch this. Jesus is in her. She does not want to be held back. She's dealing with issues. Think about the conditions that are around her. Think about the issues that she is facing, because there are issues. But she decides that she's going to take her life because God is in her to the next level. And she ends up in a place of praise. I was told years ago about this story about this beautiful flower that was growing. And so the flower, as it was growing, there was a whole bunch of junk around the flower. And the flower began to talk to the junk, and the junk said to the flower, "How could you grow so beautifully with all this junk around you?" And the flower responds, "Because I never let the junk on the outside of me get on the inside of me. I never allow the issues on the outside of me to dictate where God is trying to lead me and where God is trying to take me." So she ends up in a place of praise. She ends up in Judah. And I want you to see, I want you to look at the condition around her. And then I want to ask you, what is your condition? What are you dealing with? Is it moving you to the next level? Will you end up in a place of praise? So I want you to take a few moments to write down your condition, where you are, and what you would like to see, where you would like to go. There's plenty of lines for that, because I want you to understand your condition. What is your condition? And then watch God move you to that place of praise. Because he's moving you to the next level. Now I want to encourage you, you don't want to miss any of these seminars. Because all of these will take you, it's a building block of where we're trying to go. You want to invite your friends to come out Saturday night, tonight at 5:30. God's Traveling Circus will be here. You don't want to miss that. We're going to be serving ice cream sundaes after God's Traveling Circus. You don't want to miss that. And then Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, you want to talk to your friends. You want to come on out. And we've got the band will be here and will be here. And we've got another wonderful seminar. It's a building block of moving you to the next level in your conversation with God. When you think about where you are and what condition you're in, are you at the place where you want to be? Let's talk about success. If you look at the brochures that are going out, the road to success, how many of you all would like to be successful in your walk with God? How many of you all like to be successful in your relationships and friendships? How many of you all would like to just be successful? There's nothing wrong with being successful. There's nothing wrong with having success. Jesus himself had success. You may say, well, didn't he die? But did you remember he rose early Sunday morning? I wish I had a witness. So I want you to take a few moments maybe to think about success. And I want you to define in your own words. What is success? What do you perceive success to be? Is it that successful teacher? That successful mother? Just putting a seed in your mind. Because oftentimes we look at success and we think success is having this and acquiring that. But success, it involves a lot more. Yes, you certainly can. That's right. That's right. And you can put that down, and we're going to come to that. That's why you don't want to miss a single evening or a single day, because we're going to talk about relationships and success. We're going to talk about that specifically. We're going to talk about how you can be a better husband, how you can be a better wife. We're going to talk about how you can serve humanity. That's a part of it. We're just starting. So, but whatever you see success at this moment, you write that down. And then we'll continue to have that conversation. This conversation is going to last for the month of August. So you don't want to miss Friday night, Saturday at 11:30, Saturday night at 5:30, and Sunday evening at 7. We're going to talk about that. It's a very good question. And this is one of the things I love about this format, is that you're able to ask questions. You're able to stop me. Other presentations, you can't stop me. But this one you can. I want you to understand that everything we talk about, if it's not in the Word, it does not deserve to be heard. We're going to talk about it. We're going to make it plain. We're going to help you understand the relationship that you have with God. We're going to talk about it. I'm not a car salesman. I'm not trying to sell you something, a wooden nickel, and be gone. I want to show you in God's Word. We're going to take our time as we write this out. I learned years ago, my dad used to always tell me, repetition deepens your impression. So you're going to write it, and you're going to talk about it. All right? So what does that mean? And when we think about it, I mean, if you're honest, none of us want to be average. Average just won't do. I mean, who wants to be average? All of us want to be successful. If you were to say, Lord, say, okay, I will grant you any wish that you want. Well, Lord, I want to be average. No one's going to say that. You're going to say, Lord, I would love to be successful. I want to serve you the best that I can. And so you need to be willing to articulate that. You need to be willing to talk about that. Lord, I place my life in your hands. I want this thing to take place. Earl Nightingale, and I like some of his quotes, and so I added them in here. It says, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. If someone is working towards a predetermined goal and knows where he or she is going, that person is a what? People with succeed because they know where they are what? That's critical. I want to help you all move to the next level. One of the things that you have to do is to make sure that as you begin to realize what success is, as you begin to move to that place of praise, as you begin to understand that God is moving you to the next level, you've got to begin to write down those goals. So you have to say, Lord, realistically, you have to say, Lord, this is where I would like to be in 5 years. This is where I would like to be in 2 years, which is our short-term goals. And what they discovered with research, they're discovering that oftentimes when you don't write down these goals or these changes, then they don't take place. So there's not really a space there, but I want you to take a few moments, and I should have put it there. I want you to take a few moments to write down some of your short-term goals with God and how it relates, my sister, to maybe your marriage, your relationship, your friendships, and then write down what a long-term goal would be. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to do that because you need to begin to think about. Now, you're going to finish this at home, but I definitely want you to take some time to understand your goals, all right? Amen. Does that make sense? Any questions? That's really critical for those of you all who want to matriculate to another career, another job post. You've got to be serious. You got to say, okay, this is where I want to be, God. And then you need to write down your goals. And then when you write down your goals, you have to live those goals. Watch this. You have to make sure that when you write them down, you got to be willing to let God take you to where he wants you to be. Goal number one, goal number two, goal number three. This is my short-term goal. This is my long-term goal, okay? All right. I'm going to allow you to work on some of those at home. We want to be done here in just the next 15, 20 minutes. So I just want to make sure, because I want to make sure that you come back this evening at 5:30. You don't want to miss what we have in store for you. So watch this. Listen to me. Christ is now in her. She moves to the next level, right? She ends up in a place of praise. She goes to Judah. That means worthy to be. All right? And also, number three, she ends up in a place of prayer. Let me hear you say place of prayer. Luke chapter 1. We're still in God's word. Somebody ought to say amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 40. This is what she says. Listen to this. Luke chapter 1, verse 40. And she entered the house of Zechariah, listen, and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of the Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the what? And she exclaimed, verse 42, with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." That's a place of prayer, a place of conversation with God. She ends up in a place because she's now conversating. God had told her. Isn't that right? God had conversed with her. Isn't that right? And so she ends up in a place of prayer. And listen, read, you can, we won't go to it right now, but when you, in your quiet moments, read Psalms 86, verse 7. "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will do what?" Isaiah 40, verse 9 says, "Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not what?" Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do what?" It says, call to me. Pray. Incredibly, as it seems, the creator of the universe desires an intimate, loving fellowship with you. God desires a conversation with you. In moments of fear, anxiety, pain, and trouble, the right direction in experiencing God's powerful deliverance is through prayer. It's through a conversation with God. I think that is so critical. Because what God wants to do for you is move you to the next level with him. Some of us have been hovering on a certain level in our walk with God. Think about it. We've gotten in a rut, in a routine. And our relationship is how it is. Not how God really wants it to be. Because we're so used to the routine. You know, we get up and we take a minute prayer. We run on to work. We may pray over our food. During lunchtime. Then we come home, got to pay those bills, got to watch that television show. I got to make sure I'm seeing a Cinco, Ocho, whatever, Chad, you know, his first name was Chad. He changed his name. You know, I hear people talking, you got to watch the Ocho Cinco show. You got to watch the T.O. show. I mean, every, you know, and we're missing that time. God wants to move us to the next level, and we're just not spending that enough time with God. God wants to move you to the next level. God wants you to take you to that place of praise. God wants to take you to that place of prayer. God wants you to pause in the course of your day just to spend some time with him. God wants to do great things for you. But you have to be willing to receive what God has for you. I put this here because, you know, we're some of us, man, you know, we think we can get around God, you know, because we're so gifted and we're so talented. Oh, you know, I won't do this for the church. I won't do that. And I don't want to spend time in church. And knowing you have a talent, knowing you can sing, knowing you can play, knowing you got the gift of this and the gift of that, but we spend so much time giving it to others, we'll do it out there for the man. Right, for free. But I like this. It says, talent will tell me what you can do, but attitude tells me what you will do. I'm trying to move to the next level with God. What is my attitude like? Walt Emerson, what lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Is it the Christ in you that makes the difference? Manifesting your love for one another unlocks heaven's doorways to success in your life. How you're loving, how you're sharing that love to others. Is that success by definition? Jesus says, listen to this. He says, all my Ten Commandments hinge on two things. I always put God first though. Love my God with all my, and love my. And the reason why I put it first, because you really can't love your neighbor until you love God. God says all the Ten Commandments hinge on those two things. What is the Ten Commandments? You don't want to miss a single time of the seminar. The Ten Commandments are the character of God. So I put this here. I feel great when, and that could be anything, based on the seminar, I feel great when, write it down. I'm trying to move to the next level. What makes me happy? What makes me smile? Is it my walk with God? Is it spending time with family and friends? Is it basking in the blessings of our Lord and Savior? Is it enjoying the company of angels? I feel great when it's God that can change you. It's God that gives you that great feeling. Yes, you may be smoking something or drinking something, or you say, oh, that feels great. It is nothing compared to when you are being fulfilled by Jesus Christ. It gives you a natural high by which you never come down. Somebody ought to say amen. I love this by Nelson Mandela. Oh, this is very powerful. And I encourage people to read this every day. This is a great, great quote. Listen to this. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant? Gorgeous. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Talented and fabulous. Actually, who are you not to be? You are a what? Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's in everyone. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that awesome? The greatest gift that you can ever share is spending time with people and sharing your love with others. Jesus emptied himself into others. That's why he chose the 12 disciples. Not that he could not succeed without them. This is our success tour. But he knew he would not always be with us, so he poured himself into others. Isn't that something? I like this quote. The sum of who you are is your character, and character is who you are when what? When nobody's looking. The definition defining the love of my life. Listen to this. Isn't this powerful? I had to throw this in because we got a lot of talk about moving to the next level. Having Jesus in my life and doing the things that I love to do the most, which is being able to worship in a place you can call home with people that you love. I don't know about you, but we are facilitating, we are coming here to be able to spend time with God, but have that conversation as well with people that we love, and that's you. We want to spend time together. We want to talk about the importance of making sure that we are conversating with God and conversating with others. Take just a second to write down your personal definition, and I'm getting ready to close. Take time to write down your personal definition, defining the love of my life. What is it? What is it that makes you go tick-tock? What is it that moves you to the next level? Is it Christ in you? And then how is that now portrayed to others? Is it the Christ in you? I'm going to close in just a second, but want to make sure that before we close that I want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to move into a little video I want you to see that I think is very powerful that we'll be showing each evening that I really enjoy. Do we have any questions before we move forward? Any questions of anything that we went over? I want you to know that we have Bible counselors that are here that are going to be willing to work with you to study God's word. If you want Bible studies, you want a closer walk with God in conversation, just we have people. I want to invite our Bible counselors to just stand for just a moment, our Bible counselors that are here. Amen. You can put your hands together. Amen. Robert, raise your hand. I want to identify them because if you want to study the word, you have family members and friends who want to go out and who would like to have a closer walk with God, I want to make sure that you let them know that we have people here that are willing to assist them and to help them. If you have names of people, please give it to them because it is our desire to help someone take their life to the next level with God. Somebody ought to say amen. You can be seated. I put this here, and I love this because it talks about defining the love of my life. And, you know, as you all know, and that candy around the table is for you all too, so make sure you eat some of that as well. I just thought about when I was thinking about the candy, you know, my wife is my eye candy. Somebody ought to say amen. And that's what made me think about that. But I wanted to find, and it's something that my wife and I have always said, and it's really critical, and I use this. This is one of the things that we say to each other. I didn't put the exact word down. I'm going to tell it to you. But years ago, my wife and I got married, and we began to go on this journey together. And like any marriage, you have your ups and you have your downs. We're not perfect, but through the power of God, we have continued to move to have the marriage that God would have us to have. And I used to always say to her, and I started off years ago, I'd always tell her always, not just a word, but a promise. And I share that with you all. That's my wife and I saying, we always say that, always, not just a word, but a promise. And I say that to you because God wants to be with you always. And for him, it's the same. It's not just a word, but it's a promise. God wants to come into your life. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know throughout this seminar, we're going to show you, teach you, conversate with God, conversate with you, how you can formulate that relationship with God.